Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and I have Erin here with me today. Erin, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yes, hello. So I'm Erin Kaley. I am the owner of Reign Over Struggles, and I am also a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So recently from New Jersey, just moved to South Carolina. So,
well, welcome, Erin. So let's kick it right off. How would you describe survival mode?
I would so it's definitely tough, and people, I feel like it's like a key term now that people use, but it really is just getting, like, you still get through your days. And that was a main thing for me, is that I was still going to work. I was still taking care of my children. I was still doing all the things that needed to be done. And from the outside, nobody could really tell I was in survival mode. It's this like internal battle that you have in your brain, you know, in your mind, and you just can't. It's like you can't just get ahead. You can't get one foot in front of the other. You're just stuck, and you're just in the trenches, and you're really just going through it. You know, you can't think, you can't focus. It really does take over all areas of your life, but it's a silent takeover. You know, nobody really knows that you have this going on, because you're still surviving. You're still getting through. You're waiting for that break, but it's tough. It's heavy.
Yeah, it can definitely be heavy. And I think the difference between survival mode and maybe like depression or anxiety is just that. I think a lot of people function really well. It's just basically you're in autopilot. And that's why we're having these conversations, because oftentimes people don't even recognize that they're in it.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us your story to and through survival mode?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, starting from childhood, I had like a good childhood. I don't have any like really main trauma or any issues from there. I had loving parents and all those things. Probably my early 20s, I kind of went down like a wrong path. So I do have some like addiction in my past that, you know, I'm like over 10 years clean now and all that stuff. So that's good. But at the time, that was, really hard going through that. And then I also, I've been through domestic violence. I've been through loss with my parents passed away. So just, grieving, still grieving through that. There's just so many different things that show up in our life that really can put us in that survival mode. And I feel like I had a few different factors that kind of had me in there. I feel like I started, didn't realize I was in it, and then it just kept, piling on. And then even just being a single mom, I think a lot of single moms struggle with this too, just being in survival mode and having no idea, like you said, they don't even know that they're in this survival mode. But that kind of, and then I think there was some, depression, anxiety. So there was some mental health too in there too. But, just going through all those things and really just feeling alone really put me in survival mode. And it seems like it, I don't think, because you hear people say, like, oh, well, I just realized one day I had to do this or I had to do that. And I don't think there was ever like a clear today was the day that it changed for me. You know what I mean? I think it was kind of compiling things over and realizing, like, okay, first I need to figure out a solution. Like, I need a plan because I'm just in this race right now and it's not getting any better. And I always like to say too, like, I kind of like crisis conditioned myself, you know what I mean? So I was in this state of constant crisis, but I wasn't even aware of it, you know what I mean? To the point that where I had a moment or, a afternoon of like some peace, it felt so unfamiliar. It didn't even feel safe to have that own sacred space. It was uncomfortable. And that's not how it should be. That's not how life should be. Life should be comfortable, overall. We should have trials and tribulations and whatnot. But so I think once I realized that, like, okay, the way I'm, this isn't how everybody else is feeling in life. This isn't normal, quote unquote normal. But then I really started to take the steps to be like, okay, how do I get out of this? And a lot of that started really with being aware of my environment, who's around me, what energy is coming into me and what energy is going out, and how I can kind of find out how to protect that energy, protect my space. And I think a lot of that I really did just do through mindset. You know what I mean? Like learning how to change my mind, how to change my thoughts, how to be more positive, how to not stress over the little things. Like, I don't need to stress over my son's outfit doesn't match today. Like, it's in the end of the world, it's not that big of a deal. You know what I mean? So just doing like mindset things like that, and just about myself and my goals and where I want my life to go. So a lot of mindset, a lot of boundary setting in my life, just with different people, just letting them know, like, this is not okay. This energy, I'm not accepting. And kind of just putting up a lot of those peace blocks for myself. So it wasn't to push people out. It was just like, okay, this is my life. I'm the one that has to live it, the entire thing. I have to live with the end of it. So I want to make sure that I'm living a life that is meant for me and that makes me and my children happy. You know, and I think once I got to there, then I was able to take the action steps to kind of get out of it.
You said so many things that are important, but first I want to start with celebrating 10 years clean as
Thank you.
someone who has sat on the sidelines and watched the struggle with addiction through 3,650 plus days. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
You're
Thank you.
welcome. And as you said, I think sometimes in life it's just things compounded on top of each other that just makes our ability to function diminished. You know what I mean? Like having gone through abuse, like we often don't talk about how hard it is to rebuild after abuse. We tend to have to learn how to trust ourselves again, on top of trusting other people. We tend to then hyper-analyze every decision that we make because our decision to be with this person put us in this circumstance. So it like just recovering from DV itself, but then on top of that, now you got to deal with the grieving process of losing your parents and being a single parent and having to show up in a space no matter what's going on to tend to children. And that is a lot. I mean,
On top of
children
the
are
daily tasks,
learning.
then you got to do laundry and cook and clean and like bathe yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, wait, this is a lot.
It is a lot. And I think oftentimes we don't give ourselves enough credit for what we do manage. And say for somebody else, it might be just like, well, this is life. But I'm juggling all of these things emotionally. I'm juggling all of these things mentally. And it's hard. What you said about peace feeling unsafe, I want to touch on that a bit more because I think sometimes when people hear people say that, like, what do you mean that peace feels unsafe? Oftentimes, we get addicted to the chaos that we're in, and we won't necessarily recognize that we are addicted, but it becomes our norm. So, if you are a person, and I think a great example, if any of you are dance hall lovers, you know, that speaker is that bass is huge and loud and body vibrating. If you sit in a room for an extended period of time around very loud speakers where you are feeling it to the core of your body, and then you walk out of that room, your body is like, wait a minute, I'm so used to this environment. I'm used to the loudness that even normal sounding sounds sound too quiet. And then that it becomes a little frustrating because, wait a minute, I can't hear. The same thing happens with the chaos that we experience in life. We get so used to being in fight and flight, which is a physical reaction to our circumstances. And then all of a sudden, there is no physical reaction. It's like, wait a minute, something's not right here.
And because we don't like even Like, yeah, we don't even realize that, like, it's affected us so much that it's now affecting our nervous system, right? So, like, exactly what you're saying, we're in fight or flight. Our nervous system can't even regulate itself anymore because everything is so haywire, and it feels normal.
It does because for most of us, it's how we've operated oftentimes for years. So, how do you switch that? How do you change that without and still being able to embrace peace? It is almost like relearning.
And I think that's exactly what it was. And I was in such a state of, it was almost like a pat on the back for myself because I was so resilient. I was resilient through all the trauma. I was resilient through this. I got, you push me down, I don't care, I'm getting back up. Push me down, I'm getting back up again. Like, and it was like a, like a badge kind of that I was wearing. I'm resilient, I'll get through anything, I don't care. But it's like, but I don't have to. You know what I mean? Like, I was so resilient that I wasn't regulating myself at all. And that was the main problem, is like, I really needed to do some inner work and find out, like, okay, what do I need to change? Where do I need to change it? And how am I going to do this? And that's where I started with like the mindset and the boundaries and the nervous system regulation and just finding like even like little things where, I would feel like my heart rate going up, or I feel like I would get into these moments where I would start shaking and I would literally feel like I just needed to like scream. Like it was a complete, your like takeover body, right? So I'm like, how can I get out of this? How, what, like I need to do something. Just sitting in it and being a victim to it is not working for me anymore. So what can I do now to do something? This, I fix everything else in everybody else's life. There's no reason that I can't fix myself. And so I really just start with my thoughts. When I was having negative thoughts, how can I switch this? How can I change this? What can I, where can I be grateful in this situation? Even if there's nothing to be grateful for, there is always something. You know what I mean? Like, if you really are looking for it, you can find the positivity, you can find the greatness and the positivity. You can find all these things in your life if you're looking. And I feel, I noticed too, like the more I was looking for the positive things, the more I saw them. So that is like a big thing that people say, but it really is true. You know
It
what I mean?
is.
Like it, and I'm a big, like I'm big on energy. So the energy you're putting out, the energy you're getting. If I'm gonna sit and dwell on how hard my life is and all these things, that's my choice. You know what I mean? Like I need to be accountable for that. Nobody's gonna come save me. Nobody, you know what I mean? Like I have more people come to make it worse versus saving me. I'm the only one that can do that. And I'm the only one that knows what I want and need out of my life too. So it was kind of like, okay, this is where we're gonna start. And that's kind of where I went into my business too, because I'm like, now that I know how to do this and I can help people and I have all the education, I have my master's degree. I'm a nurse, you know what I mean? Like I work in the psychiatric mental health field. So I know how these things can intertwine. And for me, it was just, it wasn't so much that I needed medication. It was like, I just need some adjustments in my mind and my life so that I can get out of this rut. And it's hard, you know what I mean? And I think there's a really big component too when you're in something like this is having somebody else there with you. Not that they have to be in the trenches with you. Hopefully they went through the trenches and can help you get out and they can show you the way. But I think that's really big just to having somebody like guiding you and being like, you're okay. Scream, let it out, and then let's go. What else do we need to do? You know what I mean? It's not so much that we're not going to feel, we're going to feel those feelings and then we're going to get past them. We don't need to sit in them. We don't need to dwell on them. It happened. You're still here. You got through it. Let's keep going. What else do we want in life? You know what I mean? So I think just changing my mindset into that, like, I don't need to feel sorry. It happened. So what? People have worse things that have happened to them, way worse things that would have happened to me. Not, you know, diminishing my pain. We all have pain, but let's use it for a purpose now. Let's go and let's help some other people and do those things. So.
I agree with you 100%. When I talk about accident survival mode on this podcast and with my clients, I say there are three phases. First is awareness, second is reprogramming, and third is reinvention, right? And I
Yes.
think the reprogramming part is, I mean, they're all important, but I think the success in staying out of survival mode is really working on your mindset. And I think, we don't talk enough about mindset. I think there should be classes in school talking about
Yes.
mindset and how to manage that. Because I think when I look at my own journey, out of survival mode or even just healing beyond my trauma, the biggest aha moment for me was understanding the connection between my feelings, emotions, and actions. And it's not something that I recognize, right? I remember someone saying to me one day, I know you're pissed off, but that's a choice. And in that moment, I'm like, what the hell do you mean? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not
Yeah.
choosing to be angry. But once I understood the connection and how a simple feeling can dilute action, stop action, hold you, it made me realize the importance of choosing positivity, of choosing gratitude, of choosing to see the other side of the coin. And early on in my journey, so I also dealt with domestic violence, and I dealt with it from the age of 14. And early on in my healing journey, someone gave me the book, The Value of the Valley by Ian LaVincent. And I remember reading it. And in that book, she talked about how everything is a lesson. Everything that we experience in life can either stop us or edify us. And it took me a lot of years to like put that into practice, but everything now I sit back and I reflect, like, what is this teaching me about myself? What is this teaching me about my environment? What is it teaching me about the decisions that I made that got me here today? And even in those questions, right? Like, I always encourage people to ask questions because the subconscious mind cannot resist one. And it's almost like self-therapy if you know how to ask the right questions, right? But even in that, it gives you the opportunity to see something slightly different, even if you're not in a place of acceptance quite yet. And then that gives birth to being able to make different choices and different decisions.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you made like a lot of great points too. And it is like where I just lost my train of thought. But you were saying something in the beginning that was really good.
The connection between feeling,
Yes,
emotion, and
yes. So
action.
yes, it was really yes, thank you. So about your feelings, because I feel like a lot of the times it's like, well, I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling angry. Now I have to be angry. But it's like I don't have to be what I'm feeling. Feelings aren't facts. I can feel it. And if I want to keep feeling it, then I'm going to keep putting energy into it. And I'm going to keep being, you know, I'm going to keep dwelling on, I'm sad because you did this and this person did this and this wasn't right. But it's not going to change it. The only thing by doing that is sucking my energy and putting it in a crappy place. You know what I mean? So, like you're saying, it's so important. And once you're able to be like, oh, I have to switch and change how I think and my perception of events that have happened. Oh, so I'm in control of my entire life. And it's like we know that, but there's just something so powerful when you actually have that like connection and you're like, Oh, okay. I got this then. Like, I can do this. Not a problem. It's all on me. I fix everything anyway. So let's go. I got this. Like,
I've
done.
been doing
You
it
know?
all this time anyway.
Exactly. Now I'm going to work for myself instead of everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly. And I think that it's such an aha moment when you do get it, because it literally changes things. I think, on top of understanding that connection, it was also being able to put down that badge that you talked about, right? Like, I'm not a victim. I'm not, I might have been victimized, but if I carry this badge forever, I'm giving away my power. And that's what we do oftentimes when we're stuck in the trenches, as you spoke about, in survival mode. We tend to forget how much power and control we have over our lives.
Because it's like and that was always like a big thing for me, is like I'm just in this chaos, you know what I mean? It just keeps going. How do I even have 2 seconds to think about how to get it out of it? You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we all have the same 24 hours in that day. If it means you put your kids together or get them to bed and you stay up for an extra 30 minutes every night and you just plan something, that's 30 minutes of your day that you're dedicating for you and your family in the end. So it's just about you ha if you want to make a change, you have to. And you know, this is something they always said in the room that's always stuck with me throughout my entire life, through any like trauma, any situations, you know, that I've been through, is that when the pain is great enough, you'll make a change. And that is 100% true. Once that pain of living in that life gets to be too much and it's too heavy, you're going to make a change, or your body's going to force you to make one, or you know what I mean? Like, something's going to happen where you're going to have to. So if you can take control of it and do it on your terms, that's even better, you know? So that's how
Way better,
important it
because
is.
like when your body decides that it's going to take control, it always comes in a horrible way.
Yeah. And
It
life
will
is too
shut
short. Life
down.
is way too short. You know, that's what I learned mostly with my parents. And that was like a big turning point, you know, when my dad passed recently, was we don't have time. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know how much we have. So you don't need to keep waiting. I don't need to wait until I have less work on my plate, or until the kids are in school, or until I have this fixed or this fixed. Like, why? You don't need to wait. You do it now. Time, you know, time's ticking. It's going. You're losing minutes. You're losing hours. So make a change now.
And that's an important point, right? Like, we all have a laundry list of responsibilities that we tend to prioritize before our own shit, and prioritize you. And maybe those responsibilities will seem less heavy in the end. It doesn't change what you're responsible for, but if you can prioritize you, prioritize the way that you think, prioritize the what you're carrying around, or prioritize putting down the things that are heavy for you, the responsibilities, your perspective on your responsibilities will change as well, right? Like, going from a single mother who is in the trenches trying to figure it out in the middle of survival mode, versus being on a healing journey and learning how to thrive and take ownership of your life. Yeah, the responsibilities haven't changed, but I bet you your perspective on your parenting has changed, right? Like, you go from being highly resentful to earning it. Like, yeah, I'm out here rocking it. In spite of this, in spite of that, I'm doing really well. And listen, perspective is everything. And if we can shift it to a perspective that actually fosters growth in us, that's where we want to be.
And I think a big thing too, like, it was just switching that in my head, that perspective component, like, where I would get to those points where I'm like, everything's going wrong, and you know, you just feel so low. And when you feel those lows and that thing, like, at least for me, it took over the highs. If there was any high time, anytime I was feeling okay and like I was all right, when I felt those lows and the world was ending, those highs were so far and so distant. Like, they were unreachable in those moments. And it was just kind of like getting in control of my thoughts in those moments. Like, okay, why am I feeling like this? You know, and I would have these conversations, not out loud, but like I would have them in my head back and forth, like a dialogue with myself, like, no, this isn't who you are. This isn't what you need. Get up, go do something. No, you're not sitting for 5 more minutes. Get up. And I would say that over in my head, but I'm like, you know, like, I can argue with the best of them, so I'll argue with myself too to get what I want, you know? So,
I'm
and that's.
smiling as you say that, right? Because Once I really understood how much control I had, I literally used to have outward conversations with myself. Like an idea will pop into my head, like, oh no, we are not going there today, as I'm washing my dishes. And my daughter's looking at me like, what's happening? Who are you talking
Oh
to? But no,
yeah.
it sounds crazy, but you have to challenge your doors. You have to challenge what has become your norm, right? Like, and I've said this 100 times, the audience who have been dialed in probably got tired of me saying this, but like, we recycle 95% of our thoughts. So if we do not challenge them, nothing changes.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is so powerful. Once you're able to actually own that and understand that, like your entire world can change. You know what I mean? Like it can. You can live the world, the life you've wanted your entire life, you know? Like you can build wherever you want.
Absolutely. I just want to touch on minding energies, right? Because a lot of people do not pay attention to the energies that are around them. And I myself didn't for a long time. And then it was, I spent a lot of time reflecting on how someone actually made me feel with their presence. They didn't have to do anything negative, but I could start seeing how I was like emotionally drained around someone, or someone actually lit me up, right? So, like, one of the things I love to say is these exchanges, these are energy exchanges. At the end of every episode, I am buzzing because it's such a positive energy exchange. But there
Yeah.
are people in my life that I can't necessarily get rid of in the moment. As soon as they call, as soon as I see the name on the phone, immediately it's like
Yeah.
deflated, a deflated balloon. And I think oftentimes we overlook that. We don't pay attention to how people's energy impacts our energy. And I think it's so important, particularly as we are coming out of survival mode, to start paying attention to that. Because again,
Yeah.
we are in control. And if we are around people that are constantly deflating us, we can't expect to reach the to reach the clouds because, you know,
Exactly.
we're always going to be deflated.
Yeah, and that's a lot of what I do like in my coaching business too, is because yeah, we want you to master your mind first, right? So we want you to get all those thoughts, and then you have to learn how to set those boundaries and protect your peace, because people will take it, whether they have ill intentions or good intentions, it still happens, you know? And I think that is really important too. You have to be mindful of the energy around you. You know, if like you're saying, if you get a phone call and you're like, oh, but then you still answer it, why? Why are you answering that call? You don't have to. You know what I mean? Like family, friends, employer, you have the choice to not answer that call. Everything in your life is making a choice. You know what I mean? And you have to make the best choice for you. It doesn't have to be for the other person. And sometimes you have to cut people off. You know what I mean? And I had to learn that too. Like, I don't have to respond to this text right now. I don't have to respond to this work email right now. I don't have to do all these things. You know what I mean? Like, I need my time too. And sometimes it's like your soul is like screaming, like, stop, stop. Why are you doing this to me? You know what I mean? And you need to listen to that and be like, no, we're not doing this. It ends. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to give you my energy. So, and it doesn't always, sometimes it doesn't have to be that drastic too, right? So it doesn't mean like, well, you're negative, so I'm cutting you off. You know what I mean? It can also be like, hey, I had a rough day. You don't even have to explain, but you can be like, hey, I just had a rough day. Let's chat tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, or just, hey, I can't talk tonight. I don't need to give an explanation. I don't need to give, you know what I mean? And that's more of that, the past coming back in. You know what I mean? Feeling like I need to explain, feeling like I need to give you a reason, and I don't. I don't need to explain that. I can just say, hey, I can be polite. Hey, you know, not right now. Let's chat later. So.
We have this, we have been conditioned to keep people around us comfortable while we are in discomfort. And I know it can be very scary for people to consider themselves before anyone else, right? Because we aren't taught that. They say it in theory, but then you do it and then like, oh, you're selfish. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, you
Yeah,
know.
even from little, share, share. It's not yours, share. Even if you don't
Yeah.
want to share, you know?
Absolutely. So a lot of it is, like I said, rewriting that conditioning. And I've had to cut people off. And I remember, I'm very transparent here. I cut my daddy off 13 years ago. And I remember the opinions, and like, that's your father, that you can't do that. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. But this person is driving me to literally insanity every time I interact with them. So you mean to tell me that my relationship with him is more important than my relationship with myself?
Exactly.
No way. You know what I mean? And like I said, that is that conditioning, the societal expectation that you put others first. Listen, if you have ever flown on an airline, the pilot says it very clearly.
Put
Put
on your
your
mask.
mask on you first before you can help anyone else. And that applies in life. We have to learn how to prioritize us without thinking that we're being selfish. Because at the end of the day, even with all of the other relationships that we have, our most important relationship is the one that we have with ourselves.
Yeah, it's a big way to look at things too. Like any situations that you're in, you're like you said, you're exchanging that energy. So you have to, it's a cost. Are you willing to expend that energy for this person? You're taking it from yourself to give to them. So are you okay with doing that? You know what I mean? And like we have to come to that realization where it's like, no, I'm not sucking my energy to give you because I'm gonna be left, upset all night. So yeah.
It's crazy that the world seems to revolve around someone else's self-abandonment.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, that is so powerful and that is so true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Aaron, I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Tell us a little bit more about how you work with clients and how we can find you online.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and TikTok, Erin Kaley, and then I have a business. It's called Rain Over Struggles, and it's like Queen Rain Over Struggles, because it's kind of like just about taking our power back and ruling over all the things that once ruled over us. Like now we're gonna reign over that. And that's a big thing. We're gonna heal out loud. We're reigning anyways, no matter what's happening in our life, we're still showing up for ourselves to get through those days to get to where we want to be in our life. Yeah. So I can be found on Instagram or TikTok. And then I have some new things in the work that's coming up soon. So people follow. There's some new classes and master classes and events coming up that'll be fun. So
Yeah,
I'm
I'll
ready.
make sure all of your details are in the show notes. But before we wrap it all up, one key takeaway for the audience to action.
One key takeaway, just I really think truly embodying and understanding that you deserve to live a life that makes you happy and safe and peaceful. And whatever you need to do to get there is okay. And you're important and you can do whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to be a victim of your circumstance and the things that happen to you. You can take your power back at any time that you want to. And you really can live happy and safe and peaceful.
Protect your peace, audience. You are
Yes.
important. You are deserving. And make it happen. Thank you, Erin, for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. Thank you, audience, for catching another episode. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, the Survival Mode Exit Plan because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.